Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hey everyone, thanks for downloading this episode of Don't You Know Who I Am, and huge thanks to everyone who's been buying tickets to the live shows. So, you know, there's been a bit of publicity for that in the paper and on radio, so tickets are moving very, very well. For your chance to not miss out, go to joshearl.com.au. All the tickets are there, so the shows are Sundays from November 3 going all the way to December 15 at 3 p.m. at the Catfish in Fitzroy. There's going to be the podcast, then a break, then a stand-up show with a whole bunch of comics trying new stuff for the season, for the festival season that's starting very, very, very soon. Way too soon for my liking. Hey, if you are a Patreon subscriber, there'll be a new episode coming out next week for you guys if you're at a certain tier. If you're not and you want it, go to patreon.com/dykwia. Every week there's new writing. There's also you'll get free episodes. And if you're a certain tier, you'll get a free T-shirt coming out to you very, very soon. That'll be cool. Hey, if you want to support the program but can't afford the Patreon, you can always go to iTunes, give us a 5-star review, leave a nice little message. That's always good. Or if on any of you, like, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever it is, just talk about the show. Get your friends involved. It's very, very good. I think that's all I need to say. Enjoy this episode. You can tell how nervous I am at the start of the episode. It's really cool. Cheers. Thanks. Hello and welcome to Don't You Know Who I Am, the podcast that asks who knows whom, who knows what, because who knows why. My name is Josh Earl, and this week on the internet I discovered I share my name with an architect who recently shared a new design where he talked up the immersive bath experience, which I thought isn't every bath an immersive experience.
Say.
Yeah. Like you get in it and it
immerse
the water
yourself, literally immerse yourself in water.
Did you discover Tell what us was more. Different about the immersive?
No, I think it's because it's got windows around it. You can see the nature around you, and that's you're immersing yourself in that. But do you want that in a bath? I'm
yes,
not sure.
I do.
You do that?
Yep.
Do your neighbours want that in your
yes.
bath? Hey, if this is your first time listening to the podcast, what I do, I get four very interesting people and I quiz them all about their lives. So let's
You normally
meet
say
them
four
now.
Very funny people.
I didn't want to put the pressure on people.
That yeah. is funny. That's Oh, because I listen to this. You always yeah. says four very funny people. This is weird. Weird way
yeah,
that
no,
you changed that today.
Yeah.
Well, still funny and interesting.
Okay.
Come on, Matt. Hey, our first guest is a first-timer to the podcast. He shares his name with the real musician, Jack Ladder, well, the real name of the real of the musician, Jack Ladder, and an American video game developer here for the very first time. It's frontman of UMI. It's Tim Rogers. Yay!
Yeah. You know, the real Tim Rogers, Jack Ladder's parents. I did a show with Jack. He's a friend.
Yeah.
And they admonished me late in the night saying, our son's life has never been made considerably harder by you, to which I could only reply, I'm kind of sorry.
Yeah. You had nothing to do with it. Nothing they should be talking to your parents.
I also do share my name with a American gospel singer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And in 1993, I'm going to try and make this brief. We were playing a festival in Canada, in Toronto, at Molson Park, and a security guard came to our little caravan and said, excuse me, sir, is there a Tim Rogers here? I said, yes, sir. And he said, there's a Tim Rogers at the gate. Said, okay, what's going on here? And so I went to the gate and this very lovely guy said, hey, I'm Tim Rogers. And he said, I'm pen pals with 22 other Tim Rogers around the world. You know, we should all meet up one day.
Wow.
Oh my God. Come and have a drink. And
that's anyway, like when that's you, it was done. When people go on Facebook, they find the people with their name and be friends with them and then realize there's nothing else there. We just can stop looking at your kids. Okay, also joining us is another first-timer to the podcast. He shares his name with a boxer from Essex who died in a motorcycle accident and an ex-baseball player who, if you want to read his Wikipedia, bad man, bad man. But one funny incident about this baseball player, he did punch the opposing team's owner in the mouth and got suspended for 9 games. Can you please welcome the front man of Jebediah and also known as Bob Evans, it's Kevin Mitchell. Yes.
Thank you, thank you. I wasn't sure what you were going to go with then, whether it would be
There's
Kevin Mitchell or Bob Evans, because
As I've found out, there are some notable Bob Evanses in the world as well.
Is there? Who else?
Apparently there was a famous Australian film director named Robert Evans.
He's an American director.
And a producer. He's Australian. Also, apparently, the leading discoverer of supernovas in the world is a man named Bob Evans. Me, that's Bob good. Evans. Yeah.
This is good. Next time you come on, we'll talk about that more. Also joining us is another first timer to the podcast. She shares her name with a Canadian nurse and a corporate social responsibility officer for a finance company in Connecticut. Can you please welcome musician Jess Ribeiro?
Yay. What about the hockey player?
Is there a hockey player
as
well?
Is there a hockey player? An ice hockey player?
I can only do two in the intro.
All right.
But next time we'll talk about that.
Also, you went with nurse. Over ice hockey.
Thanks. Yeah.
Well, the ice hockey player didn't come up on LinkedIn. That's all I'm saying.
Right. Yeah. That
tell her to get a LinkedIn profile and I'll put her in.
I think she's 16.
Okay. Finally is a man who shares his name with a landscape photographer. Can you please welcome from the Do Go On podcast, it is Matt Stewart. Yes.
Thanks so much.
Yeah. So they all clap for you because they know now to clap.
Right.
Tim didn't. Only I clapped.
Oh,
I thought it was instinctive. I thought we all clapped.
We did.
Dwindling applause is something I'm very familiar with. The echoes of decades and years.
Now, thanks for doing this. Now, we should point out to the listener that Kevin and Tim are both currently on a tour together.
Yes.
And so Jess is thinking that this is unfair.
I am thinking this is unfair. These guys, surely they've played shows together throughout the years.
Well, we have. But as Tim pointed out, we've spent far more time away from each other than we have with each other.
All right. Okay, good to know. You've brought two enemies together in one room.
Great.
I think it's great.
Competitors.
I bring
this together. It's been a very long while since we did an all-nighter together.
Yes.
Sort of the druggy all-nighters where you find out.
That's when the stuff. That's when these stories come out.
Yeah. Good. We'll try and compact that into.
Or we could just have a druggy day in.
Yeah, well, that's what I prepared by taking some drugs earlier. So
yeah, excellent.
They're just starting to come on.
Or we could go and play a game of squash.
Yeah,
we've talked about this before.
Yes.
The in between moments.
It's the post game squash, first beer. You get
sounds
so much
good too. Can I roll the ciggy?
All right. Our first game today is called "You Can Quote Me on That." It's a new game. Very similar rules. So what I do, I've gone through the internet and I've found quotes from you four. It could be from Twitter, could be from Instagram, could be an interview you gave, could be from a book that you've written. It's from that. Okay. I'll read it out. If you think you know who it is, buzz in and tell me who you think wrote it. Your names are your buzzers. You can't buzz in for your own ones.
Okay.
So poker faces on. You get a point if you get it right. If you get it incorrect, the person actually wrote it, they get the point. So you can't lose points. So don't worry about
that. So I say Jess.
You say Jess. Yep. Yeah, Kevin, you can say Bob or Kevin.
Can I?
I've got ADD, by the way, that's why.
That's fine. All right, question one. Inside every older person, there's a younger person asking, what the hell happened?
Tim.
Yes, Tim.
I think that was Matt.
That was actually you, Tim. That's you.
I was
going
to say
credited
that it was you
to Tim Rogers.
To say my name.
It's a good
set.
What a start.
It's a good quote.
I don't think I said that.
That's a beautiful quote.
On the internet, it has Tim Rogers.
No, that was Pastor Tim Rogers from America.
It's a good quote, though. You can have it. Inside every older person, there's a younger person saying,
no, you're not allowed
saying,
to say your own.
What the hell
you
happened?
You can't have the point.
It's all right, Jess. There's no trophy.
I thought we were, I am competitive. No, you can't have the point.
Well, he didn't get the point.
Oh,
because he got it wrong.
Oh, good, all right.
Okay. Don't worry. Oh, it's all even. Okay. Still anyone's game.
All right, great.
Okay, question two.
Controversial start, Jesus.
I think I might have written a really, really great song today. If it's not in the bin in 3 months, then maybe it's actually okay.
Jess.
Yes, Jess.
Was that you?
That was Kevin. Yes, you were right. Yes, that was Kevin. Point there for Jess.
But I just want to, before this goes any further, just kind of point out that pretty much every time I tweet, it's usually after, at least a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
And after 9 p.m. So, I just wanted to, make that clear.
I've often said, why tweet like a bird when you can converse like an eagle? And you can quote me on that, Joe.
That's a good quote.
That's a good one.
Do you know if the song survived?
So far. But the idea of that was to the point that I was trying to make was that, when you write songs, in the moment that you write a song, you think there's this incredible buzz and energy. It's like, oh, fuck, this is awesome. This is one of the best things I've ever done. This is great. But the reality is that if 3 months pass by and you still think it's kind of good, then maybe there's something there.
That's
because often,
similar.
Like after a few months, I'm just like, yeah.
How many goes do you give it before you go, yeah, it's actually not good?
How many goes do I give it?
Well, if you play it live, you go, all right, this is
a new
song. Oh,
it doesn't make it to the stage. No.
See, this is why comics, we have it easy. We can do it on stage. The audience say, no, that's no good. We give it another go. They say, that's no good. We go, all right, we'll give it one more chance. You go, that's no good. You go, that'll never be said again.
You say that's easy, but you're failing very publicly. Whereas you're only, you know, hating yourself.
Oh, no,
in
I fail publicly. No, I definitely fail publicly often.
Has anyone in the room written a song that straight away they went, yeah, that's a good one?
Absolutely.
Jess, how about you? Every time.
Yeah.
When you finish one, because finishing songs, starting them is easy. Finishing them sucks.
It's hard work. Yeah.
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 And do you know when it's finished, or it's like, oh, we've just got to record, so it's finished then?
Sometimes it's both. Sometimes it's the pressure of having to record that makes that decision for you. Other times, not so much. But yeah, there's been loads of times where I've finished a song in a demoed form before even going to the studio and going, this is going to be a good one.
I interviewed Warren Ellis on Triple R once and asked him, how do you know when your songs are finished? Because there's no words in it. So you're like, usually you write, okay, the story, the narrative of this song is wrapped up. I don't need to do another chorus. And he's like, oh, you just record it and that's it. It's finished. It's fine. I'm like, all right. That's why I could never be a painter, because I'd keep on just adding a little bit more to it.
Until it's completely
messing it up.
Yeah.
There's a number of good quotes about finishing when work is finished. With writing, it's when someone takes it away from you. But painting, similarly, now who was it? It wasn't Jackson Pollock. I don't really ever knew when he finished, but it was Vermeer or something. They said, similarly, when you run out of paint, that's when the paint gets taken.
Yeah, Lorne Michaels from SNL, he says, the show goes on because it has to, not because it's ready. Like, which is a good quote to go, all right, you just got to do it.
Yeah.
Question 3, deadpan and retro. Yep, that's me.
Matt.
Yes, Tim.
Oh, it's Matt. So
you're going to say Matt. It wasn't Matt. It was Jess Ribeiro. Another point there for Jess.
Who said that? What was
you
this?
Said it.
I said
deadpan and retro. What? Yep, that's me. You said that on Twitter. I think you had a review that called you or your maybe your film clip deadpan and retro.
Yes, okay.
And you were like, yep, that's me.
That's
you
me.
You are very deadpan.
I am.
Jess can play deadpan well, but I didn't know you as an enthusiast as well.
I am an enthusiast, Tim.
You are all things.
I am all things. It's really hard. It's really tough.
I think it's fair to agree that something that you tweet may not kind of be fully encompassing of. You know, what you tweet one day may not be how you feel.
177 episodes of this. I realise this every single time I do it. Like, people are like, I never tweeted that. I'm like, I can bring it up. It's published. Yeah. Question 4, Twitter is great when you're an influencer like me because you can write any old shit and people will still like and retweet it.
Jess.
Yes, Jess.
Tim.
No, that's Matt.
Oh.
You know Matt. Why? Because I don't tweet.
Yeah. No, because you're an eagle.
He's converse.
I have the nose of an eagle. I have a rather aquiline form. Are you an influencer?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think as soon, if you say you are.
Then you are.
Yeah, right.
I think everything I say on Twitter is ironic, but it doesn't always get interpreted that way. But I don't remember ever saying something sincerely.
Ever in your life?
No.
I think that was sincere.
That was. Yeah, great.
You should
progress.
Tweet that.
I will. I will. It's a new me. Maybe I really will be an influencer one day.
An influencer. I think that's... Yeah. I hate the 21st century.
What is an influencer? And I don't know how to use Twitter. Still.
I don't fully understand what it means, but it feels funny. Yeah. I thought it was... I mean...
Did you get some things after you said it? Did you get a sponsorship?
No. I've been trying that. I've been trying to ironically say, hey, I'll plug your stuff for money.
I'm getting a free haircut tomorrow and I'm going to talk to you about it because I feel like I'm betraying Ginger Light. You know Ginger?
Yeah, Ginger's wonderful. She's a wonderful hairdresser.
She's the best.
I can't afford to go to her.
Won't talk about
love her, but I can't afford to go to her. You get a free haircut. Get a free haircut.
No, it's not a free haircut with her. It's a free haircut with someone
else. I think I understand. Yeah.
Yeah, get a free haircut. Okay.
No, I think Ginger would understand it. Everyone's working, trying to get by. It's fine. Okay. You know, sometimes you've got to go
haircut.
Sandwich or haircut. Tomorrow, get a free haircut and get
a sandwich.
And a very big sandwich.
Yay.
I think you plugging Ginger now makes you're on the road to influencing. I think.
Great. Yeah. Well, I thought I'd say that so I can get the free haircut with the other people.
That's smart.
Ginger Light in Collingwood, her off Smith Street.
Thanks, Tim. You get a free haircut.
I get a free fringe.
I'll tell her.
This has been recorded, Jess. I'll put it out tonight. Great. She'll know. It'll find out. My listeners will we'll hit her up. Okay, question five. There's a clown giving out flyers for the sex party. His makeup is melting in the sun and no one will go near him or make eye contact.
Kevin.
Yes, Kevin.
That's Jess.
You are correct. Yeah, it's Jess, yes.
What? I was like, that's all points. So like,
no. Well, knowing that Tim doesn't use Twitter, that just becomes
no,
like,
but
like a toss of the coin.
And like I thought maybe I read it in the readings catalogue. I was going to buy it, but I didn't have enough money at the time. Oh. I saw it in the shop window. I was like, Timmy's book. I'm going to buy that.
Does he mention me? of course, when a acquaintance, a friend writes a book, you go straight there.
Oh.
I was going to tell you one of my favourite Tex Perkins stories, and there are many. He's just one of my favourite humans. But when he wrote his book, I knew, well, it was not a coincidence that his book came out the same time as mine, because his publisher I didn't go with, and anyway, I thought there was a little bit of skullduggery. But Tex called me and said, oh, can I come around and read a chapter that I wrote about you? And I said, oh, just come around. You don't have to do that. He said, no, I want to check it with you. I said, oh, don't worry about it. But he sat down and we had drinks, and then he read the chapter to me, and it was really heartwarming. And it wasn't always easy to hear, because he gave his opinion on some of the less pleasing aspects of my character, but it was quite something for him to have that strength to go and sit down. And when I put my book out, even though it's not an autobiography, it's just memoir style, but I didn't speak to people for months for fear of hurting people, really.
See, my best friend had a book published this year, Justin Hazelwood, Bedroom Philosopher. He's got a great book called Get Up Mum. Mm. And my mum read it, wanting to know where I am in the book, because it's all about his childhood. And I'm like, I'm not in it, Mum, because I'm like, I was friends with him from year 8 onwards, and this book is about when he was in year 6, year 7. She's like, oh, he could have just put you in a bit. I'm like, did you miss all the book? The book's about his mum's schizophrenia and him growing up with that influence on his life. And she's like, oh, you could have been in it one bit anyway. I'm like, Mum, it's all right, mate.
She was disappointed, wasn't she? Very disappointed.
You gotta cut it out.
That was your moment.
Yeah, my moment to shine. All right, next question. Please don't excuse my ignorance, but you are going to have to tolerate it.
Matt.
Yes, Matt.
That feels like a Tim Rogers.
That is a Tim Rogers, yes. Point there for Matt. Reading
That's
of it.
So Rogers. Jeez. Matt, you're playing with a very straight bat at the moment. I'm waiting for that irony.
All right, question 7. Just once, I'd like to see Gordon Ramsay have a surprisingly calm and thoroughly pleasant dining experience.
Jess.
Yes, Jess.
Kevin?
You are correct. Yes, a point there for Jess.
Yeah.
I don't even know Kevin.
Once again. Just like,
this is
just
late night, a bowl of wine in.
10:30 watching Ramsay's Nightmares. Just again and again and again. He's so angry all the time. I just felt, obviously at that time, Gordon just wants, just like you do, go and be, oh, this is quite lovely.
Do you cook?
What a lovely meal. Well, I try. My wife is actually a really excellent cook, and I feel like I'm a very competent cook myself. But when you live with someone who's really, really good, it's kind of, you know, it's like every time she cooks, it's like MasterChef, you know? And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to step out of
your way. Is
MasterChef
good? I don't have a TV. I don't know.
I haven't. Well, yeah, you're not missing anything.
So she's not that good.
Well, what I mean by this is the quality of her culinary skills.
Okay. All right, question 8. My version of maintenance now is have a glass of water occasionally.
Tim.
Yes, Tim.
That's Matt.
That is you again, Tim. That is you. You've got these great quotes that you've said in interviews. And
my normal one for if someone offers me a water is no fish fucking water, give me a beer. I do actually...
I need a drink of water.
Do you want a drink of water? Mm, we can get you a drink of water.
You push a little button.
We'll do this. We'll finish this round, and I'll get you a drink of water, and I'll edit it out. It'll be seamless.
I think that means so far it feels like you see a bit of yourself in me, because there's twice you've attributed your own quotes to me.
Well,
what do you think? We've met for 5-10 minutes now.
17.
Not at all ironic, which I like.
Well, you're just not picking up on it. It's a deep irony.
I'm 50, Matt. A lot of things are just passing.
No, I'm not. You're right. I'm a very straight up guy.
Question 9. Time never goes slower than listening to a talkback caller to a sports radio getting to their point.
Jess.
Yes, Jess.
Matt.
You are correct. Another point there for Jess. Mm. Killing it, Jess.
I've been listening to a lot of trade radio this week.
A lot of SEN.
And yeah, it is. I mean, it's like that all year round, but in particular now. They do pleasantries, and then they'll just really, it's a long wind up before they get to their point that they want to get, you know, some star player over for nothing to their club. But Yeah, that's
a longer wind-up than usual, do you think?
Yeah, kind of similar to the wind-up I just gave the explanation of it.
This is so postmodern.
Yeah.
Question 10, our last one for the round. Hey, you filthy comedians, clean up after your damn selves. You're making us musicians look good. And then they had a photo of a sign saying, comedians, keep the backstage tidy.
Jess.
Yes, Jess.
It's either Tim or Kevin.
Well, which one are you going to say?
I'm going to say Matt.
That was actually Kevin there. Oh! Yes.
That would have been genius if you pulled that off.
Where was this sign?
It was at a place in Fremantle in Western Australia. Okay. And, yeah, it was a great big sign that was overhung the bit of where you walk through to go onto the stage. And, it said... comedians, specifically comedians.
Was it Please Mojo's or no, it was, Salem Anchor?
It was a new place that they opened up at Little Creatures.
Oh, yeah. Little Creatures Brewery there, yep.
And I apologise for not being able to remember the name of the room. But yeah, I'd never seen anything like that. And I was just like, these fucking comedians.
Yeah, we're filthy. You
know? Like, this.
There has been discussion amongst musicians about who's a better after party. Is a comedian's after party, like a Dante's Vision of Hell, as opposed to a Guignol sort of painting of or theatre production of a musician's after party. Wind-ups are getting longer, aren't they? But who is funnier, stand-ups, after show, or musicians?
I would say musicians. A friend of mine who's a musician. Had like he sums up like this. He goes, after a show, so he'll get someone come and go, hey, I saw your show at, say, whatever it was. It was great. And he'll go, thanks. And if you say that to a comedian, they'll go, oh, was the early show or the late show? They just won't take the compliment. They'll be like, which one did you see? Because, the late show was pretty good. But if you went to the early show, the late one was better. But
is that because they wanted to gauge material that was delivered? Or
I don't know. No? We're just more needy.
Insecurity.
Yeah. That's all it is.
Wow, more insecure than a musician.
I'd say so.
Oh, boy.
At the end of the round, the scores are Tim on 0 points. You didn't get any points there, Tim. That's all right. Kevin on 2 points. Matt on 2 points. But in the lead on 4 points, it's Jess Ribeiro. Yeah. Okay, this round is called Holiday, It Would Be So Great. Now, we've all had holidays, some of them good, some of them bad. And in this round, we talk about those experiences that have stayed with us. And today we're talking about Jess Ribeiro. Now, last year she was in Berlin writing her new album, when some friends came over from Australia to visit her and celebrate their 30th birthday. The friends were super keen to go to the Kit Kat Club, a famous sex club. Mm-hmm. But Jess was pretty stoned, but thought, okay, I'll go. They went and got in, and once they were in, they all had to strip off. So while Jess and her friends were naked, what happened? So that's a lot of... So this is it.
So was that part take true? In. That's
yeah,
a lot.
That's all true.
That's true.
So was it A, two dudes were having sex right in front of where Jess was sitting? They both made eye contact with Jess, and not knowing what to do, Jess just applauded and said, encore. The two guys rolled their eyes and just got back to it. Once undressed, Jess realised she was the only one in the club with pubes. A dominatrix approached her with a pair of scissors and said something to her in German. Jess panicked, grabbed the scissors, and just started trimming off her pubes. The dominatrix screamed, grabbed the scissors off Jess, and then used them to cut a loose string on Jess's friend's bra. Or was it C, after about 10 minutes, Jess found it really boring, so started rolling up her towel to make it look like a chicken. It made her friends laugh heaps, and so she did it to their towels. Then some other people asked if she could do it for their towels, and so that night, Jess rolled up about 40 towels into chickens and thought she had achieved everything she wanted to from a sex club. Now, one of these is true. You have to ask Jess as many questions to try and get the right answer, but she'll want you to get it incorrect, so she gets your points.
Have you ever been a hotel cleaner, Jess, like me?
I did work in a hotel in the kitchen.
But you never did bathrooms.
No.
Did you learn the towel technique?
Oh, my dad used to run a restaurant, and I can do all of these nice things with, serviettes.
Yeah.
Like fan things like this. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those things.
And chickens.
Yeah, you can do all kinds. He's Asian. He's from Hong Kong.
Okay.
Yeah.
Story checks out.
So with the
making
number
nice
one,
things out of carrots too,
wow,
like flowers.
The men who were fucking when you walked in. So and you said, was it you said encore?
Encore.
Did they continue to fuck after that?
Yeah, they stopped and then looked at me and then they just kept going.
Were they looking in a way of come join us or
no? They
weren't
doing?
Doing
that.
Okay, I was just checking.
Goodness gracious.
The scissors thing, surely the scissors. You kind of, where did the scissors come from?
They came from the dominatrix. That's what you said.
What's she doing with the dominatrix? What's she doing with scissors?
I find that one hard to believe. Well, I'm going to put it out there.
Pleasure is pain, Kevin. Pleasure is pain.
Well, I guess I just haven't been to enough clubs.
Where was the club again?
The Kit Kat Club.
Yeah, obviously Berlin. I've heard of it, know it well. But where is it?
It's in Berlin.
Berlin, yeah.
Did Ned Collett go with you?
No, he didn't go on that particular occasion. Mm. Yeah.
I was just with him the other week.
Oh, were you?
In Berlin or over
in
here?
Berlin. Yeah.
He's a lovely fella.
No, he came in to a recording session during the daytime, but he did not come to this particular... I didn't go with anyone else except for this one couple, and I didn't know they were into...
that kind of... Yeah.
No, I don't think they were. They were so nervous.
What was the dominatrix wearing, Jess?
Black. Like black leather. But lots of people were wearing like black leather latex. You know, latexy things. Mm. I had jeans and a T-shirt on. Yeah.
This game's tricky. Because you also got to pick the two that he's made up. So Josh has come up with two of these. Does he... It feels like... Yeah.
So what are you going with? What do you think I wouldn't put on a stranger?
I feel like you wouldn't put pubes on a stranger, but I could be wrong.
What do you mean put pubes on a
stranger?
Well,
I
wouldn't have made up the pube story and given... Not that Jess is and I are strangers. I've known Jess since 2015.
Yeah, we've known each other for a long time.
So maybe you would have put pubes on it.
Yeah.
Maybe. But yeah, you're right, the scissors.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound right, does it?
Doesn't nuts.
But I don't... Have you been to a Kit Kat club?
No.
So, you know, maybe. I haven't either.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, this is not coming from experience.
Any of the two gentlemen fucking look like Kevin Mitchell?
Well, everybody, I felt like I was the only person that had dark hair there. So, I mean, they had less hair than you. I mean, you've got lots of hair, but...
I just had a cut.
On your head, did you? Yeah.
I noticed before Kevin's family did at the airport. Oh, Kevin, you've had a haircut.
I went to a live sex show in Amsterdam once, right?
Live sex show.
Ooh. It was like, two in the morning or whatever, live sex show, sitting in this little theatre. I've been taking mushrooms all day. And I had my mushrooms. I was at this sex show eating mushrooms like it was popcorn, just sitting there, you know, eating the mushies, watching. And it was really sort of in the later hours in the morning. So these people, they've been working hard for a long time. And there was a guy having sex, of course, with this woman. But it took him, he couldn't get it hard on. It was taking ages. And I'm just on the edge of my seat. He finally makes it happen. And he's having sex there from behind, right? And I was like a couple for sort of second row. And... there was this moment, and keep in mind that I'm, you know, on mushies, but I'm pretty sure I didn't hallucinate this. While he's having sex, he just slowly turns around and he looks me dead in the eye as he continues to fuck this woman.
That's
from
good
behind.
Showmanship.
And yeah. It was an experience I'll never forget.
You had a real connection.
Maybe you got him to where he needs to go for the blood.
Maybe. Look, if I was, I'm here to help, so.
No scissors.
No, I didn't see any scissors. No.
Right.
Do we choose? Is it time to guess?
Just recapping, the three were you made towels into chickens,
and
your dad used to work in Hong Kong. So there's
that in a restaurant.
No, he used to own restaurants.
He owned restaurants, and
he'd teach me how to make all of these little serviette things for all of.
So I'll go through the choices. So A was the two guys. B was the pubes. C was the chickens out of the towels. So what do you think, Tim?
B. I think you B think is the B. False you think one?
No. One is true. I want you to guess the true one.
Which one do you think is true?
Because I know the little I know you, but you've just got the most delicious sense of humour. I want C to be true.
You want C? Okay.
The
you
chickens.
Want chickens?
Yes.
Okay.
I also believe C to be true. As you know, I've got a problem with the scissors.
Yep.
And A.
He's also got a problem with homosexuals.
I've also got a problem with scissoring. it just seems like. It seems like the kind of awkward thing that I would do if I was in that same situation. So that's why I'm going to go.
So you're going with
C.
C. Yeah. Okay.
I can see you saying encore. I think that is a thing you would say.
So you're going A.
Do you know, yeah. I really wish it was the first one and that I was saying encore.
But it was, in fact, B. It was the pews and the scissors.
So my gut feeling was right.
You were right, yes.
And yes. You were trying to guide me there.
I was...
Inadvertently.
Yeah.
I've got to get out more, clearly.
And well played on Jess for saying, pointing at me, going, you said it was the dominatrix. Yeah, so, so let's go through it. So you were in the club.
Okay, so I went to, I didn't want to go, but I'd been in Berlin for like 3 months. I thought I should do something touristy. It was my friend's birthday.
Did you say touristy?
Touristy. Also touristy.
Too risky. So,
touristy.
So my friends, you know, they made these beautiful little costumes for themselves and I rocked up and I had my jeans on and they were very disappointed. We went in, it was... you know, techno music, and my friend thought that she was going to have a panic attack, even though she was the one that wanted to be there. And then I found this room, and it was this open-air room, and there was a swing from the ceiling, and there was a huge swimming pool, and there were all of these naked men and women, but mostly men, in there. And some of them were under this waterfall of, like, rainbow lights. And we went in, and you had to take your clothes off to go in, and we were met by this dominatrix woman and you had to take your clothes off and she folded them really neatly. There was this this look of cleanliness everywhere.
Like German engineering.
And so I took my clothes off really fast. I don't know why, but she said something about taking your clothes. I took them off, gave them to her, and I started looking around at all of the naked people and I realised that they all had really good bodies. And they all had blonde hair. And so I was like, oh, shit, I've got dark hair. And then I realised none of them had pubic hair. And I thought, holy shit, I've got so many pubes. And they're black. And then I looked to my friends and I said, you don't have any pubes either. And then I looked at my friend's boyfriend and I said, you don't have pubes either. And they said, it's okay, Jess. And I said, it's not okay. Why didn't you tell me we weren't meant to have pubes? And then,
it's the sort of thing.
And as soon as I did that, this woman turned around and handed me this little pair of silver scissors. And without thinking, I just grabbed them and started cutting off all my pubes. And then, so I'm just cutting them off. And my friends are saying, what are you doing? I said, well, I've got to get rid of them. And I was like, cutting them off. And then the dominatrix lady turned around and she and she grabbed the scissors from me. And then I was standing there with like half cut pubes and a big handful of like my hair. And she turned to my girlfriend and like just carefully snipped a little thread from her bra. And that was that. Wow. And then I just rolled them into a ball and I put them in a corner and we went into a sauna with this.
Wild that she thought you would have understood what the scissors were for.
Sorry?
It's wild that she thought you'd understand what those scissors were meant for.
Yeah, well, you know.
You'd think that could, like, just a gentle, is this your first time upon entering might be helpful. So then, you know, for those...
You might notice no one's got pubes. Don't let that
alarm. If anybody hands you any scissors,
don't panic.
Don't start cutting your pubes off.
At the end of that round, the scores are Tim still on 0 points, Kevin still on 2 points, Matt still on 2 points, but in the lead now on 7 points is Jess Ribeiro.
Runaway leader.
Work to do.
Thank God I've got my looks.
All right, this round is called Yeah, Nah, Yeah. In this round, I'll read out a fact about another person on the panel. If you think it's true, you say yeah. If it's a lie, you'll say nah. A point if you get correctly, a point to the person the fact may or may not be about if you're incorrect. So you can ask them as many questions as you want, try and get the truth. So, to Jess. Now, Tim's first kiss was at age 13 in the back of a school classroom. It was arranged by the kids in the class, and while they kissed, everyone else just sat and watched.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah.
You're going to say yes straight away?
Yeah. Or do we get more questions?
You can ask more questions and see if I've made that up.
Nah, I'm just going to say
You're going to say yeah? Well, you are correct. Yes, that is true. Yes,
I knew it. Yeah. Look at him. Look at him.
Dear Catherine.
What a sweetie.
Yes, she was a very statuesque. A young lady. It was all. It was complicit, and it was very unerotic.
Was it a Lord of the Flies kind of situation with the other kids, though? As soon as they found out, they kind of.
Initially, I wanted to kiss somebody, and I was curious as anybody is at that age and at the current age. But no, it wasn't. But it was just. It felt weird to be doing it in front of people. Even at that stage, I thought I'd rather be doing this in the intimacy of a shed.
I had a very similar experience, though, which is me and this girl had arranged a kiss after school, and it spread. Josh and Rebecca are going to kiss. And then my brother found out, my older brother, so he turned up on his bike and just went, go on then, kiss her, kiss her. And I was like, oh. And so it was going to be like, as we called, movie-style kiss, kiss. And then I just pecked her on her ear and just got on my bike and rode away.
Sweet.
That was the end of it.
I've never been kissed.
Oh, well.
Did you have a cat's bum kiss or was it like a real kiss, Tim?
Oh, no, it was a movie-style.
Wow.
Yeah, was there a reaction from the crowd?
Yeah, what did everyone,
wherever I
That's why I knew it was true.
Catherine was very, very shy, and you know, as tall people can be at that age, 13, whatever. And I remember afterwards just feeling she looked a little taken aback, and I thought, well, geez, I hope she's all right.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Because we probably didn't talk for 4 days after that. Yes. Because when you pass each other in the schoolyard, you get a bit bashful.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
All right, so to Tim. Now, Matt's first ever gig was in a high school Battle of the Bands contest where his band got to play one song, which was an original composition. They lost, though, to a band called Spam Badger, who just played Am I Ever Gonna See Your Face Again by the Angels, and because the rest of the school got to yell out the swear words, they won the popular vote. Yeah or nah?
What was the name of the song that you played?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask that, and I've been trying to remember. I think it was called Dogtown.
Dogtown?
Dogtown.
Did you write it or someone else in the
band? No, I didn't write it. I couldn't then, and I still can't really play music. I was the bass player.
Mm-hmm.
they gave me a bass. I think they liked my vibe.
Yes. What did you
like? I still have that bass. It's in the shed.
Really? What color is it?
It's black with splattered red and white.
What else is in your shed, Matt?
It's a fold-out bed. It's a bike without a missing wheel.
Did you enjoy sound check, Matt?
No, I don't. I don't think there was really much of that sort of stuff going on.
That's right. No. Yeah. So that's the only bit that I reckon is really true. But I'm saying no.
You are correct. That was a lie. Yes.
I'm not. How am I? What a bullshit lie to make me tell to Tim Rogers. I was in a, fucking hell, as if I could have pulled that off. What did I actually
you
go red there? I feel
school.
Like I was, no, I was glowing
no,
red.
No, you're staying beautifully.
You know, around that time, though, I was inspired by you, not musically, but for my year 12 formal, I specifically went op shopping to find a brown suit because you wore it in a photo shoot somewhere. And I found it, and I've still got it, chocolate brown.
Is that in the shed?
No, that's still inside in the cupboard. That's ready to go whenever I get called up to a formal event.
It's too good for the shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, come on.
It was misunderstood that I was dressing to be somewhat ironic or to be daggy, when really I loved mod culture and I wanted to, but the only secondhand suit you'd find would be not the great colours, and so we'd get fine suits for $5 and try and hem the...
It didn't seem ironic to me, but maybe I was pre-ironic, you know, as a teenager.
Chronic.
Yeah. it just looked cool to me, so.
Did you ever go in a Battle of the Bands competition? We all?
I've never been, no. I've been in, comedy battle type.
Oh, really?
Well, you know,
Raw Comedy.
You know,
you
like,
won Raw Comedy.
Yeah, I've done, comedy competitions, but never done...
I think I was alluding to that kind of situation. It's never particularly comfortable.
No, it sucks.
I was in one with my old band, the Plurals, we were called. Yeah,
Plurals.
Yeah, it was around the time everyone was like the Strokes or the White Stripes, and we'll class up the Plurals. And
you nerds, you should have been called the Nouns.
The Nouns.
Why am I? No, forget that. I've just taken that from a book that I was reading last night. Plurals.
The Plurals.
The hell?
Yeah.
Plurals. It doesn't sound good when it comes out of your mouth.
Better,
the Plurals.
Right.
It was just two of us, and
the verbs.
And someone yelled out. Someone yelled out, "You need a bass player!" And wouldn't stop. We had three songs. We play them, and then they kept on yelling, "Get a bass player! Get a bass player!" I'm like, "All right."
I bet that person was a bass player.
Matt, we could have used you.
Damn it.
All right, so to Matt.
That is true. I do have a bass in my shed.
Is it? Because that seemed to me like the biggest lie.
Can
the colour of it.
With the it's splattered colours and everything.
Jess wants it.
Can I?
I've been looking to offload it.
Okay, great.
It's been missing a string for about
nine years.
Since that Battle of the Bands competition a couple of years ago.
All right, so to Matt. At school, Kevin was a very good student, but one time got caught cheating on a test. The teacher sent a note home to his parents to sign, but Kev got a friend to forge it. Kevin felt so sick about it, he actually had 2 days off school. He promised from that day forward he would never break the rules again.
Have you broken the rules since?
I have, I'm ashamed to say. Yeah. Yes, many times.
Mushrooms in a sex club.
But no, I don't... Is that breaking rules?
I don't know. No, probably not an answer.
It's perfectly legal.
Yeah, true.
Perfectly legal.
You've watched live sex on mushrooms. I mean, I've never seen people... I went to the sex club. I didn't even see any sex.
Yeah. You saw many, many naked people.
Yes, but they just sat around the pool. But you watched some people
have
sex.
I did. No, well, there were three acts.
While you were tripping.
There were three acts to it. So.
How did it feel?
I saw six people have sex.
Did it turn you on?
No, not at all.
How did you feel about it?
I was beyond the point of being able to be turned on.
Were you laughing?
No, it was very... It was a tense experience.
Oh my
very tense.
Goodness.
I wasn't just like relaxed. I was on the edge of my seat with eating my. Anyway.
Well, when you're on mushrooms, you look at your hands a lot, and it's like, was it you doing that?
No,
with
it was a really dark theatre. It was a tiny little theatre where your knees were hard up against the seat in front of you. And it was very, very tense.
When you opened up about that, did you think that Jess's story was going in a sexier place? And now you've sort of overshared. Based on the fact that it was really just a non-sexual scissor story.
No, it just popped into my head. It's the first time I've ever told that story outside
I'm
of...
I'm glad it's on the public record. But, yeah, so breaking rules. Are you a good boy? I can't tell.
Because
your lyrics are
magic,
hard to sort of decipher sometimes. I don't know. Are you singing about when you were leaving home? That doesn't feel like a good guy thing to do. You know, you're leaving. I always
leaving
figured
home.
You were like running away in that song.
Why don't you, definitely. Can you recite the words for us and we could try and analyze it?
Leaving home.
Like you said, no one can understand what I was saying.
Leaving home. Life was never good to me. Leaving home. I felt the morning light. Fuck, why did I go down that path?
It helps if you squeeze your nose, nostrils
well,
together.
Well, look, I love your music, so sorry if it sounds like I'm giving you shit.
No,
but,
that's all.
I feel like you do have a vibe of a who maybe was a good guy who's found
good,
a rebellious...
Good guy turned bad.
Yeah, but still like holding on to the goodness. I haven't asked you a question yet. what was the thing you did wrong that meant you had to have the fortune?
Dave Stewart, who was sitting next to me during a science
from the
test. Yes. That's how we got to be in science class together. It's a pretty wacky story. But
I like how you know all the famous Stewarts. Matt Stewart.
Yeah.
We colluded during a science test. We were caught talking during a science test and we both failed the test.
Right.
And were given notes to send home to our parents who had to sign the note and comment the note, and then we had to bring that note back to the teacher.
And was this because you were feeling pressure to do well in school?
I was under a lot of pressure to do well, absolutely. My mum, you know, was a real taskmaster. But I think, like, I was in year nine, so we were probably just talking about something that didn't even involve the test. I can't remember, but... But yeah, we were punished.
I feel like either you're a good liar, which is possibly true, or I'm going to say this is a true.
This is a nah, half true, half true. But so the first bit was true, but then he didn't take 2 days off school.
The aftermath.
There's more.
Well, it's interesting
story,
you say that I'm a good liar because that's a big part of the story. So, I was given this note, and of course I'm absolutely shitting myself, right? You know, my parents can't, particularly my mum. Dad not so much, but mum. If she finds out, my life's over. I'm dead. So we got a girlfriend of mine to forge, you know, to sign in my dad's name, you know, Brian Mitchell, and write a comment like something, you know, very disappointed in Kevin, you know, he'll, you know, face the consequences at home or something. She wrote for me, and then I handed it back to my teacher, Mr. Benowith. And Mr. Benowith took the note and seemed to accept it, and everything was fine. Phew, all good. A few months go by. And then the parent-teacher night comes up. And my mum... Now, parent-teacher night is usually reserved for the kids who are, like, not doing so very well. So the parents can... Wasn't my case at all, but my mum, being a teacher herself, she wanted to meet with every single one of my teachers, including Mr. Benowith. So I was like, oh, shit. you know, so now I'm in trouble. Now I'm fucked for two different things. So she goes to the meeting, and that night I had footy training, and I was pissing myself with fear, you know, because she was going to pick me up for the footy training straight from the parent teacher thing. I was like, fuck, my life's over. I'm fucked. So she picks me up. I get in the car, just waiting for it. Nothing. Nothing happens. She doesn't mention it. Nothing at all. I'm like, fuck, what's going on? Like, he mustn't have mentioned anything to it. Fuck, I'll live to see another day. Go back, just go to school, you know, whatever my next science class was, and everything's fine. And then during a lull in the class, everyone's just sitting doing this work, and Mr. Benover says, Kevin, you know, can I just see you for a moment? He takes me out of the class, sits me down, he says, oh, you know, I spoke to your mother at the parent-teacher night, and she didn't know anything about the test and the note or anything. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's weird. I said, oh, my dad wrote the note, and I said to him, oh, you know, dad's the one that kind of, you know, dad looks after it. Mom doesn't know what's going on. So he pulls out the note from his top pocket, and he puts it, and he looks me dead in the eye, and he says, you know, look me in the eye and tell me that your dad wrote this note. And I looked him in the eye and I said, my dad wrote the note. And he just...
Do you think he believed it, or he was just sizing you up going, is this kid going to lie on my face?
I don't know. He either believed it, or he just thought my lying talent was so great.
He was really worried about you.
He was worried. Yeah. Well, maybe this is going to make the next couple of weeks of our tour together. Knowing that you can lie. Anytime there's some sort of consternation, there's the last twisty in the bowl. Or the Mr. Benowith.
But, I mean, it's kind of... I mean, I don't consider myself to be an honest person, but after thinking about that, I remember too that the first gig I ever got was based on a lie as well. I didn't have a band or anything, and the person who was offering the gig, you know, was on the phone to me asking me what experience we had, and I said, oh, yeah, we've played this gig and our band's done this. It's all just completely fabricated in order to get the gig. But I think, isn't that, and I'm not trying to sort of, you know, I am trying to defend myself a little bit, I guess, but, you know, how many people have lied on a resume or whatever to get a job or, you know, that's the context I put that in. But, yes.
I don't know why your mum didn't bring it up with you, though.
I've never known, and I've never brought it up with her. Maybe I will. She's probably forgotten about it now.
Kevin and Brett's mum is an absolute enigma. I mean, first time in Fremantle the other night, and she was wonderful company, so funny.
She'd just come in from watching us play. And you and I were about to get on. The back of her jacket was soaked in beer, the poor thing. But anyway, sorry.
But she was like, oh, it's like meeting the royal family, meeting you, Mr. Very theatrical and gorgeous. It's getting to know you.
Last you question liar. For this round. So okay. To Kevin, now, while living in Darwin, Jess once got a job for Tourism Northern Territory where she was flown to Alice Springs. Jess didn't really know what the gig was for, but a crew was coming from Sydney and told her she would do a piece to camera about her connection to the land. Jess asked if they were also going to film an Indigenous Australian too, to which they said, aren't you part Aboriginal? Jess said, I think you've mixed me up with Jessica Malboy. I'm Chinese, Portuguese, English, Australian. Jess never got another job with them after that. Yeah or nah?
Wow. So how did the job even come about? Like, you were asked...
So
how did they?
I'm
going to say no.
are you going to say no?
Yep.
You are incorrect. That's true.
Okay. Well,
Jess has played this very well.
You
yes.
did. Look, no wonder you're winning by so much.
The old three card trick.
Ah, yes.
Denial with eyes.
So you were working for Tourism Northern Territory playing songs and stuff, were you?
Tourism Australia.
Tourism Australia.
They gave me. I was friends with the tourism minister, and she was an Indigenous woman. And I think someone took a photo of us together at a celebration. And most of the stuff I did was for Tourism NT, but then Lonely Planet and Tourism Australia said, "Come to Alice Springs." Right. we've got this great campaign, we want you to be a part of it. And then they took me for a drive. They didn't really say what was going on. I didn't really understand. They gave me in a Cobra. They said something about having a yarn and passing it on. And I was like, I don't know what's going on, but shopping. We drove through to Catajuta and they gave me a briefing. They said, yes, when we arrive, we're going to film you talking about your spiritual connection to the land. And I said, well, that's weird. Okay, sure. I was like 23. I thought, yeah, I must have a spiritual connection. And then I said, you are going to have an Indigenous person there, aren't you? You know, someone to represent, the country where we're going. And then they stopped the car. They literally stopped the car. And they said, oh, you're not Indigenous. And I said, no. I said, I'm not Jessica Mowboy. And they said, yeah, we know that. But we were sure that you were part Indigenous. And I said, no, I'm Eurasian. And anyway, so then I got a free hat.
You out of the car?
Yeah. I got a free hat and I went for a walk around the desert. I was like, this is beautiful. And then they never gave me another job.
But the hat, you were meant to pass the hat around, weren't
you?
We
went to Sydney the following week for this Lonely Planet thing. And when I got there, this man said to me, where's your hat, Jess? We need the hat. We have to pass the hat on this Cobra. I said, I don't have it anymore. And they said, what do you mean? And I said, well, I posted it to my uncle. He's a truck driver and he loves it. And they were just so, they were like, are you serious? And I was like, surely you can get another hat from a Cobra. And they were like, no, it's a specially made one for this, you know, this world campaign. And it was like, yeah, right, whatever.
But wow.
So clearly all those people were white, you know.
Yes, they
It just, and it just shows like, you know, the discomfort.
Yeah.
The fact that they just kind of assumed without sort of talking to you
about
it.
She's got dark hair. She has tan skin. Of course she's part Indigenous. She's, you know, she can be anything.
All
right, at the end of the round, the scores are Tim, you're on 1 point. You're off the mark here. This is good. Wow. Matt, you're on 2 points. Kevin on 3 points, but way out in front of 9 points. It's Jess Ribeiro. All right, this is our final round. It's called
Is it double points so we can catch up to Jess? Or
no,
is
but
much
you can lose points in this one.
Oh,
so you can lose one more.
Yeah. It's called Who. In this round, I'll read out 10 questions about everyone in the room apart from me. If you think you know who it is, buzz in. Your name's your buzzer. You can't buzz in for your own ones. You get a point if you get it right, a point off if you get it wrong. First one is this one. Who had a job where they would crush up medication and put it in the food of the elderly? Who had a job where they would crush up medication,
Matt.
Put it in the food? Yes, Matt.
Kev?
Yes, you are correct. Yes, point there for Matt. Yeah.
I'm done.
Is that that's your only job other than...
Yeah,
You lie and you drug
people. Really, yeah.
Just painting a picture of myself.
And he takes mushrooms and watches people have sex.
I was like 18 years old and I just quit uni. I was in my start of my second year of uni and I was just like, quit uni because I couldn't stay at home anymore and my parents were just like, well, if you're going to... stay under our roof, you better get yourself a job. I was like, right, okay. So I got this job at this old people's home and completely inexperienced in the kitchen. And, yeah, they used to give me the old people's medications and stuff to put in their soup and everything that they wouldn't take. Like, I mean, surely that would not happen anymore.
No.
Sometimes I'd be setting the table, like the cutlery and stuff, and someone would sort of tap me on the shoulder and say, oh, they died last night. You don't need to set up their cutlery today. And one of the old ladies was... sure, like she thought that I was her son. And so when at the end of service, I'd be packing up, she'd be going, okay, dear. She'd be like, go off and play, run off and play. I'll pack up. So she would go around the table, help me pack up all the stuff. And then, go outside and play.
I thought that's what that lady was doing to you at the back of that club. I must have been mistaken.
Question two. Who as a teen went to their local record store to buy a Replacements album, got the names mixed up and bought the Residents album instead?
Kevin.
Yes, Kevin.
It's got to be Tim, right?
That is Tim, yes. Point there for Kevin, yes.
How did that affect you?
Well, I went from being very excited to very confused. I've never liked
Never recovered.
I respect the Residents and I enjoy reading about their exploits more, but I did actually go back to collect records in Parramatta. John Incanarco, wonderful man working there, and he did swap it back for me.
He allowed you to swap it?
Yeah.
I have only had one experience where I went to swap an album. And I was 18. I made the big trip over from Burnie to Melbourne. Went to Greville Street Records, and I was a big Lemonheads fan. Mm.
Yeah.
And I'd heard, and they did covers of Graham Parsons songs. So I went, I'm going to buy Graham Parsons GP.
Right.
Bought it, took it back to my mate's house where I was staying, just I was 18, couldn't get into it, couldn't find a way. Went back next day and said, oh, this is not for me. Can I swap it for something? And the guy actually let me swap it.
Was it Warwick behind
I can't. Yeah, I can't remember who it was, but he let me swap it. And I'm like, that. Looking back now, I'm like, there's no way he should have let me swap it. He should have said, no, you need to sit with that album.
Give it a few years, come back to it. Yeah.
That's it. They run a different operation down there. Good people.
Question three. Who took acid instead of meeting PJ Harvey backstage?
Kevin.
Yes, Kevin.
Jess.
Yes, you are correct. Yes, point there for Kevin. Yes.
What was the thought process?
Nothing to say. Someone who said you've never done.
We were going to have dinner, but it didn't work out.
Question.
Can you tell me about that?
It's like taking acid backstage. Extremely enigmatic person.
Yes.
And that's wonderful.
Question four. Who had their book full of their writing for a new piece they were doing stolen and they had to start from scratch?
Who was that?
Matt.
Yes, Matt.
Is that Tim?
You are correct. Yes, it was Tim. What album was it?
It got stolen out the back of the Corner Hotel. I was doing a theatre show and I drove there and the lead actress was going to drive it home and I left my bag in the back of the car and had demos and full lyrics and everything. I think it was one of the lesser heard solo records, so there's no great loss. But someone in Richmond has a...
It'll come out.
Wow.
Has a book full of... A book full of overwritten lyrics.
So what did you do after that? Did you just try and sort of...
I punched the hell out of every window of my own car and...
What were you able to... Were you able to recover just from your memory?
Not very much. No, I just let it go. Just had to.
Did you have like melody and stuff sticking around in there or was it just...
I'm sure there were. Yeah. Yeah, and look, as I say, it was just one of my records. If it was a band record or songs I was writing for someone else, I would have felt... worse about it, but next day sobered up and cleaned, you know, got my hand bandaged up and thought, look, really, if there's got to be at least the feeling of them there, and so it was no great loss.
Did you get a song out of the experience? Is there a song like punching car windows or something?
You haven't heard Tim's song, I punched in a door because somebody stole my windows. I love the classics. People said it was a bit wordy, but I really connected.
The lead actor, Boyana, and we were in a relationship at the time and that was definitely the start of the end. I think she saw my reaction to one being that distraught about lyrics. And we were seeing the performer, Jolly, American singer.
Holland.
Jolly Holland.
Yeah.
She, the show of Jolly's was almost good enough to I didn't care. And I saw Jolly play just after that and... the story goes nowhere from there. I've been working this morning, sorry.
That's all right. Next question. Who got inspired for the name of their project off the back of an op shop find?
Jess.
Yes, Jess.
Kevin?
Yes, it was Bob Evans on the name.
I was wondering where that was. Yeah, right, okay.
So the Bob Evans ceramic doll for the restaurants.
He's the sausage. He's a sausage magnet. No, he is actually a sausage guy. And in that he's famous for selling his sausages. But the op shop,
The story I read was a basketball top and it had Bob Evans on the back. Yeah. I thought, oh, that sounds cool. So that's where Bob Evans came from.
It was a basketball top?
Well, it looked like a home.
Is that where Bob Evans came from?
Yeah, it looked like it was homemade. It had Bob Evans on the front and on the back it had the number 15. But, you know, it's like iron-on sort of things. So it looked like it was like a homemade top that maybe like a social sports group might sort of make for themselves to play basketball on a Wednesday night or something. I'm guessing.
It's a chain of restaurants, isn't it?
It is. A chain of restaurants in America called Bob Evans. It's like Bob Evans Farms. I've never been in one.
Are they organic?
No. I think they're... What's the opposite of organic?
Inorganic.
They're... they look like sort of, you know, ye olde kind of farmhouses. That's sort of their, you know, stylish style. And But yeah, but in all the shopping centres there in America, throughout America, you can in the frozen food section, there's, you know, Bob Evans sausages and various meat products. And the amount of fucking times people have been in America and taken photos to send to me to go, hey, look, Bob Evans sausages. And, well, that's probably only counts about 8 times, but anyway.
All right. Next question. Whose friends got them to sing on their Year 12 music performance exam thinking they knew the words of My Sharona and this person did not know the words and their friends failed?
He's done music.
Tim.
Yes, Tim.
Jess.
No, that was Tim. Matt Stewart.
Matt Stewart and your musical background are killing my Jess victory.
Yeah. That was I still feel regret about that. We didn't practice. I assumed I knew the word. I'd heard the song a lot. And then it wasn't in front of a crowd, it was just in front of their class. So I got out of it. I got out of like an accounting class or something probably. So I was pretty happy to do it. But then I was like, oh, I actually don't know the words. And it's also much harder to sing along to the song when the singer of the knack isn't already singing. So I know the time. So I'm like, I don't know if I got it. I mean, you heard me try and sing your lyrics back to you before.
Can I ask,
it was like that, I think.
Can I ask, do you now know the lyrics to My Sharona? And my second part of the question is, do you still regret not knowing them? Because they're rather lasciviously talking about love for an underage.
Right.
Oh, right.
Girl.
Oh, that would have, yeah,
so
maybe.
You can just say you were being very woke back then.
I was
then,
being early days woke. That's all it was.
You woke early.
Yeah. Singing to a group of 17-year-old boys, I thought it would have been inappropriate. So.
Question 7. Who here has met Prince and told him he should have a rum and coke?
Kevin.
Yes, Kevin.
Jess?
Yes, you are correct, yes.
That's cool.
Yep.
And then she folded his exactly. And watched him have a sex act.
That's right.
It's all very plausible.
Yeah. I got to be his personal assistant when I was about 19 and he wanted a green tea with lemon, but we didn't have any. And I said, would you like to have a rum and coke instead? And then he just walked away from me and he sat down and he said, Jess, I'm not going to play until you, you know, find me a tea. And so I ran around Brisbane, you know, at 1 o'clock in the morning, went to a Chinese restaurant and bought 100 tea bags for Prince. And
wow.
You know, we made him one cup of tea and then he played for 3 hours.
Where was he? When was this? Where was he playing?
This was in Brisbane. This was in...
What was he doing? What venue?
It was at the Indie Temple. It was an after show. Oh.
Those after-show things.
I remember hearing about
it. It was 3 hours of cover songs.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, he just didn't stop. He didn't play any original songs at all. Though it was just like a big kind of jam.
Amazing.
With him and his friends. Yeah.
Imagine how long he would have played if he had a few Bundy and Cokes in
there. I know!
Really.
Or two green teas.
Yeah.
Feels like you've lived a long life somehow. You've done a
I'm
lot
really
of cool
young,
stuff.
I'm really young, though. I'm, never been kissed.
Yeah. you fit a lot in.
Next question. Who in the early days of touring spewed so violently in the back of a cab it covered the entire front windshield?
Amazing. Who was that?
Who did this? Yes, Matt.
Matt. All right. That's how quick my thought process is. I want to say Tim.
No, it was Kevin.
It was Kevin. So I saw his little face go like, make a little twinky thing.
I was trying to read faces and yeah, now that I know it.
Not much of a spewer, man.
Right.
No, it was Kev.
Yeah, it was a
liar. He plants drugs in people's food and spews.
Yeah.
This tour is going to be
Did you ever take any of the old people?
No. That's the thing, and like I was at the prime age to be doing some experiments.
What, to have anti-inflammatories or something?
Yeah. I reckon, I don't know what these things were, but I think they were probably a little bit heavier than anti-inflammatories, so, you know, stopping people from probably, you know, losing it. But, yeah, but the vomits it was a full power chuck, and I happened to be sitting in the back middle seat with people, you know, driver... Front passenger, people on either side, and it was a 180 degrees.
You must have nailed it. Like
it was quite shocking. And we got kicked out of the cab, and it was in 1996. I was still a teenager. And we'd been swigging on vodka before going out, and so that was obviously where it came from. But
should try green tea and lemon.
Yeah, I know, right?
must have felt like you hit it flush, right?
Yeah.
You just must have right out of the middle.
Well, the last thing.
So Steve Smith.
I remember having that feeling of, you know, where you're going to spew it, and you, but you know that if you open your mouth, it's going to come out. So I'm trying to gesture to my, you know, my bandmates like, that something's brewing without being able to talk. And then the last thing I hear is the cab driver sort of casually saying, "How long do we have, sir?" And then boom. That's when it all went everywhere. I went in everyone's hair. And
you got out.
We walked back to the hotel, pick and vomit out of ourselves. I was
called up
my
Harvey Keitel from Pulp Fiction. Just him getting to clean it up. All right, the last question for the game. Here it is. Who holds the belief that at every single gig there is somebody in the crowd from Perth who wants you to know that they're from Perth?
Kevin.
Yes, Kevin.
Tim.
Yeah, he's right, yes. that's a very good fact.
Do you know how I know that? Because I'm from Perth.
Yeah.
Yeah, when the it was actually last time we were in Hamburg, and the guy yelled out, "I'm from Perth," and I gave it to him. And the next day, all I wanted to do was find him and say, "I'm really sorry," because I actually wouldn't have minded talking about anything to do with time. I was 3 weeks away from home, just feeling it, and we'd played terribly, and I just wanted to apologise to him. But of course, I didn't find him. But sending it out there,
I think it's like, you know, Perth, you know, having grown up in Perth, you do grow up, and even if it's on a subconscious level, there's something about being in the most isolated city in the world that does affect you. And I think that must be where it comes from. People just they want to be acknowledged.
Yeah,
you know, I've often thought that like the relationship that Perth has to the rest of Australia is kind of similar to the relationship that Australia has to the rest of the world.
Oh my God. Do you know a band called El Horizonte?
Yes.
Yes. So when I was 19 and I worked at the venue and I was did this thing for Prince, this band came and there was this guy in the band and I fell in love with him and his name was Eddie. And I called my grandma and I said, "I'm moving to Perth. I'm going to marry Eddie." She said, "He's in a band. It's called El Horizonte." And anyway, I remember meeting them and thinking, these people are from Perth. It's like they're from another country. I love them. I'm going there. And I didn't go. Anyway, Eddie, if you're out there, I haven't been used yet.
So. I remember having a similar experience, Tim. Like, Jeb and I were playing a gig in Vancouver, and in between every fucking song, there was this guy right at the front going, I went to Bull Creek Primary School, right? This guy, you know, I went to Bull Creek. And I just wanted to kick him in the teeth. Shut up. I just ignored him. I didn't say anything, but
denying
fuck, it was annoying.
Where you came from.
Oh, I was just like, great, what do you want a fucking medal? Yeah, like, it's kind of serious.
We just flew 16,000 miles to play here, really don't want to. Yeah. But then, you know, 4 a.m, I wouldn't mind talking about it. East Free Medals, 1978.
At the end of the game, the scores are Tim Rogers on 0 points.
And I'm proud. I'm proud.
You join an elite few who did that. Okay. Matt Stewart on 3 points. Kevin Mitchell on 7 points. Came home strong.
I tried.
But our winner on 10 points is Jess Ribeiro.
Thanks so much. If you had another woman here, I reckon that it would have just lifted the scores, I reckon.
You reckon it would have been more even?
Because of why, Jess?
Maybe intuition. What do you reckon, or is that sexist? Oh, should I have said that? Oh, my God.
What's wrong with being sexy?
Working on a feeling level? I don't know.
Jess, because you win, you get to promote whatever you want to promote first. Your most recent album, Love Hate, is out.
Yes.
People can get that?
Yes,
buy it
in the shops.
You got any shows coming up?
Yes.
Whereabouts?
Oh,
all
in
over.
Melbourne.
That's right. This is going to be out. There's a lot of listeners in Melbourne.
Oh, yes. Okay. This Sunday at the Darabin Music Feast and then at the somewhere else. I would have prepared a note if I had.
That's all right.
Known. Sorry, next time I will.
Go to jessribeiro.com.
We can forge one for you. Actually, maybe Kevin.
Yes.
Kevin, you got some shows coming up?
Playing with UMI, Jebedar and UMI, playing shows all around Queensland and where else are we
going? I'm going
New
with
South
them,
Wales
actually,
and Victoria.
Are you going to go now?
Surprise support guest.
Yep. Yeah. Come with us. If you're from Perth, please don't come. But yeah, right through till the end of the year.
Tim, anything else?
I find it that I mentioned to anyone who's listening that I come from Kalgoorlie, I'll wear it like a stamp of honour. So someone, next time I mention that to anyone, shout me down.
And you and I have a new record out as well, like a best of. Yeah.
Oh, no.
All on board.
No, it's a live record, but we're going to be recording in a couple of months, and I'm making a record with Shane Nicholson. And,
great.
Sort of, trying to get through. So, Matt, now you.
Oh, yeah, I've got pretty fun stuff as well. No records coming out as yet. What was the song I had? Dogstar. Did I name it
Dog
Keanu Reeves?
Dogtown,
you said. Dogtown.
Fucking hell. Anyway, yeah, good. I did two levels of improv, so you could probably see it all coming out there.
You went down the K-hole.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's the Keanu hole.
But you know what? Do go on.
We're doing a live show in Perth in a couple of weeks, I think, in November.
Everyone in the crowd, shout out, you're from Perth.
Yeah, that'd be if anyone's there listening, please do that. There probably will be some people listening.
Of course
that's at the Comedy Lounge.
Yep.
Is it? Yep. And I'm starting a new podcast, recording it straight after this. It's going to be about the back catalogue of Cold Chisel, and it's called Listen Now, and I'm doing it with my cousin. And we haven't really figured it out, but it should be fun, and I think it's going to come straight out, and we're going to try and do it leading up to their tour next year.
Cool.
Great.
Jebs are playing a couple of shows with Chisel New Year's Day in Perth.
That's
cool. And I'm playing a cheese festival next year in March. True as.
Is that in Melbourne?
Don't know. It said
fromage.
What does that mean?
That's French.
Fromage. Just watch out when you're touring with Chisel, because we toured a couple of years ago, did about 40 shows with them.
Wow.
Getting admonished by Jimmy, who's a friend, for overdoing it is really something. Tim, you got to take it easy, man. You're going to fucking kill yourself. You've just got to lay off. You can't drink that much.
Really?
This is quite an experience.
Wow.
So don't eat too much cheese, Jess.
I won't eat any. I'm dairy-free at the moment. Who knows?
What are you going to do with all the free cheese they give you after you finish flying?
Are they going to give it to me?
Well, I think if you play cheese festivals.
Maybe getting paid in cheese.
Let's have a cheese party.
Yes, we can have a cheese party.
It gives you a weird dream, eating too much cheese.
Hey, if you're in Melbourne, tickets are still on sale for the live shows at the Catfish every Sunday, November, December. Very good lineups. So come on down, 3 p.m, tickets at joshua.com.au. And if you're in Brisbane and in Perth, I'm coming. I can't officially say when, but... you've got some festivals there. You can probably join the dots. I'm going to be there, so hopefully I'll see you there.
So Jess and I want to ask, are you coming?
I'm coming, yes.
Encore.
Yes. Yes. Thanks for playing. See you next time. Bye.
Cheers. Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.